Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I'm happy to be here with Daniel Lim.
All right. So today we have a great question. I can't say the listener's name. I don't want to butcher it. So let's just go straight to the recording and listen in.
My question is about, from what I've seen in my experience, that churches tend to have a dilemma between growing the numbers of the church and growing the depth of their members. So between evangelism and discipleship, you know, if you don't have the resources to take people through, you know, lengthy Bible study classes, how do you handle that? How do you grow the depth of the church while also, you know, spreading out the gospel and getting ensuring that people come to church? You know, I've been in churches where some people complain and say, you know, the church did well to get us into the, you know, congregation, but now that we're in, we are only getting milk. We need to get hard meat. You see, and they tend to leave the church and go to look for smaller churches that maybe have more time to invest in that. So that's my question. Thank you.
All right. Boy, I love his accent.
I'm not sure I understand the question, however.
It's just the whole idea of how do you just continue to grow the church deeper as how do you grow deeper as you grow wider?
Yeah, I think part of the challenges is you have to recognize that sometimes people define deeper differently than you do. They sometimes want to know, you know, obscure Bible facts. Maybe they kind of felt that they know the basic Bible facts. Now they want to know about the obscure Bible facts. Deeper can mean to be more Pentecostal or to be more Reformed or, you know, to be more up on the Bible code or to find out about the Jebusites, the Amalekites, or the Mosquito Bites. And there's always kind of something. Thank you very much. Tip your waiter. I'll be here all week. So what I would say is I would early and often define deeper. And I would say, here's where we want to go as a church. Here's what a developed and growing disciple looks
from the pulpit
like. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Because I think ultimately, and it doesn't have to be something like, it's not like, all right, we're all going to sit down and have a conversation about deeper. But instead, it's just sowing it into there. You know, here's where we're heading as a church. Here's what we want to look like as we grow. This to us is spiritual maturity. So define it and then start living towards it. And then what happens is people begin to see what that looks like.
So in the tradition that I grew up in, I grew up as a Presbyterian, the whole idea of deeper and of getting meat and not just milk was something that came up quite a bit. But in my context, it was very much of a, okay, are we doing more Bible studies? Are we getting more knowledge? Are we memorizing this? And it was all intellectual. So the deeper was really measured based off of intellectual and how much you knew. Now, I like what you said earlier on because it does depend on the tradition. Now, my wife grew up Pentecostal. So what did deeper look like for them? Well, it was deeper into the worship, deeper into the spiritual discipline, into prayer and into fasting. And, you know, that's what that meant more on that side. So it is an interesting question to define. And I wonder how many of our listeners have defined what the deeper life looks like for the congregation, because that does depend on your tradition, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that's kind of tricky. First of all, I didn't know your wife was Pentecostal in this very moment.
Pentecostal Assemblies of
Canada. It's all PAOC. Nice. And now you're going back to pastor an Alliance Church. So maybe there's a spirit-filled moment coming on here. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, So part of the challenge is if you don't define what deep is, someone else will define what it is. And so what I would say is that's where, back to even your question, you were like, from the pulpit? You seemed a little surprised. Otherwise, what does that mean? So, I mean, there are going to be Pentecostals in your church. There are going to be, they're going to be Calvinists in your church. I don't know. It depends on your church, I guess. And so all these people in your church are going to have that different perception. So I would say we see being deep as walking in these ways. And I would say a lot of it, I mean, depth in the Bible is often measured by our character. So we see this as walking as a person of character. We see this as knowing the word of God and walking in the grace of God, or being walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and more. So, you know, I think those are all things that are things that are not just definable, but are necessary to be defined. So that's all I'm saying.
That's good. That's good. Well, let's add a few more, a few more characteristics around that and give you a few different things. We'll give you a few different things to think about on this question right after a word from our sponsor. What guides your core beliefs? Are they founded upon solid truth, or are they based on others' opinions or your own emotions? What you believe about your purpose and value affects almost every area of your life. And this is the premise of the new film Overcomer in theaters August 23rd. It's the latest from the Kendrick brothers, makers of Courageous, War Room, and others. This movie has inspired the creation of several resources. For small groups, there is the Overcomer Bible Study. For individuals, there's a book called Define. And both are based upon powerful insights from the book of Ephesians. You can learn more about all the resources at lifeway.com/overcomer. All right, so the thing that I would add onto what's been said so far, once again, start with defining what it is. And yeah, it's interesting to think, in which situations would you do this? In which situations, obviously, if you have a newcomer's class, have it as a part of that, just so that, and part of your membership class as well, so that everyone knew and those who are signing membership understand what it looks like to be a growing disciple of Christ. But I'd also say from the pulpit, to try to normalize what the deeper life looks like. So in a sense, you need to model it as the pastor. So for you, if the deeper life looks like daily Bible reading, which is, based on research, one of the most important...
You would think that would be one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of the most important things. So for you, how are you talking about your daily Bible reading, just as a normal matter of fact, as you do counseling, as you meet with your congregation, as you preach? One thing that I like to do in my sermon illustrations, because regular Bible reading is so critical to spiritual formation, I will often, in my illustrations, have an illustration where, hey, while I was reading the word this week, or during my time in the morning when I was reading the Bible, and then I would try to tie that into what I was preaching on that week, just to show people. So it's not even a, hey, are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Instead of saying that every single week, just normalizing the behavior instead.
Okay. I like that. And I would say any behavior that you want to see emulated in your people, you need to model as the leader. Now that's not the only thing that you need to do, but consistently doing so will help on that process. Now, what I would say is, and where it gets even trickier, is, you know, I mean, Bible reading would be universally affirmed, but what are the other areas? What are the other steps that need to be taken on that path? And I think that's where people would debate them some more. You know, that would be, so it might be different in different traditions, but I would say what you celebrate, you become, and having that celebration makes a difference.
Yeah. I'd also say the whole question that this individual submitted, the way he worded it, it's easy to get into the trap of this consumer mentality where those in your church are coming to get milk or to get meat. And I would just say, have a conversation, sit down with those who are expressing these feelings and talk to them about what the church is and how we are the church. And it's not this consumeristic religious transaction that happens, but actually everyone, instead of coming to church to get milk or meat, I mean, this is your once a week meal, whatever it is. But if you're not feeding yourself on a daily basis, then of course you're going to want more substantial. Or, I mean, even if you do get a really substantial meal that you only get once a week, is that even good for your body if you're fasting 6 days a week and then eating once? And then 6 days a week and eating once, of course you're going to be malnourished in a lot of ways. So I would just really talk about and elevate this idea of a growing disciple of Christ as being a self-feeder, and then flip the question on them and say, hey, what does it look like for you to be a self-feeder and for you to know how to get meat yourself? Oh, you don't know how to do a Bible study and you don't have resources to buy a Bible study, well, that's fine. Let me teach you how to do inductive Bible study. Here are the tools and the ways to do that. Or here's another way to study the Bible yourself. And then instead of studying it completely in isolation, then getting together with others where you can wrestle through the concepts and pray for one another on.
I agree. And I think you've covered it.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Be sure to check out the Ask Me Anything podcast as well with JD Greer and Matt Love. They've recently talked about the greatest need in the American church. What would you say to an atheist? And should you expect to feel satisfied by my job? They're very much of a Q&A podcast like ours. So just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. Thanks again for listening in.